You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Outdoor Edge in their complete lineup of knives and game processing kits. These guys right now are doing an absolutely huge giveaway where you could win an elk hunt, and not just any elk hunt. We're talking about a 7 or 8 mile horseback ride into the backcountry. We're talking a one-on-one guided hunt. You're going to be sleeping in a wall tent, and you're going to be doing that for 5 days with the founder and CEO of Outdoor Edge, David Block. Now, if you've never been on an elk hunt before, I'm telling you right now, go sign up for this, because if you ever hear a elk bugle, whether it's at 400 yards or it's at 40 yards, it is a life-changing experience. So here's how you enter. Go to OutdoorEdge.com. There's going to be a big banner for it somewhere on their homepage. All you have to do is click on that. Go fill out some information. I think your name, your email address, maybe some other stuff. And that's all you have to do. That's how you are entered. They're going to be picking a winner, a ways from now. So you have plenty of time to enter. Go visit OutdoorEdge.com. Sign up today. And if you decide to purchase any products from the website, enter the discount code NATION30. That's the word NATION with the number 30 after that. No spaces. NATION30. And you will receive 30% off your purchase.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Thomas. Joining me today is my co-host, Micah. What's up, man? My trusty co-host.
I'm the one that shows up.
You are the one that shows up. Andy.
Yeah, that other guy that we got over there. Don't know why we have him, you know, even part of it, but whatever.
Hey, Andy, we're just kidding. We love you.
But, and we understand, you know, you got your harvest, you got to work, you know, we get it.
Jobs and stuff. Yeah. Responsibilities.
Yeah. Who wants those?
Luckily for me, I've got nothing going on in my life.
yeah, that's true. But anyways, so, hey, what's going on with your season so far, man?
Why'd you have to ask me?
Well, it's a bitter subject for me too, but, you know, I feel like the listeners might want to know what's going on.
Yeah. So we are recording this, I think today's the 19th of October.
Yep.
And I went hunting the night before we recorded this, and it was actually a good night. Saw 5 or 6 deer, and actually started. I was actually really excited. I did grab my card before I climbed the tree, and there was nothing. No mature bucks had been here yet, at least in that spot. I mean,
right? Or you got other cameras?
But I'm like, all right, well, it's perfect night. At like 4 o'clock, I started seeing deer, and I'm like, "Oh, that's a good sign."
Yeah,
they're up on their feet. Saw 2 button bucks came in, and then behind them, about half hour later, that's how long they stuck around right in front of me.
Wow.
A mature doe came in, and she eventually worked around downwind of me and blew out, and the button bucks went with her. And then like half an hour later, I had a spike come in, and then he came back again a little while after that, and so I saw deer all night, just nothing that I could go after, but
yeah.
It was a good night.
It is what it is, you know. It's been a rough one for me, too.
But yeah, you got a new spot that you're going to be checking
that
out.
That is the positive here. I acquired a new piece of ground to hunt, and it worked out great because the last few days we've had like a northern wind, and my spots that I have currently, they don't work out good for a northerly wind. So I actually acquired the spot, what day was it? I believe it was last month. Yeah, I believe it was last Monday. And I went out that evening, and I saw, you know the story, but so I get
somebody forgot his arrows.
I get there, I keep all my hunting gear in my car. Nobody jack my car, please. I don't care about the car, just leave the hunting stuff. But anyway, so I have all my stuff in my car. So I left right after work, went right straight to the hunting spot. I get all my camo on, I get my bag, everything. I grab my bow. I'm like, crap. Left my arrows at home. So you know, and that's mainly because I can't fit my quiver in with my bow case, so I usually just either throw it in my bag or just throw it on top of my case, leave it in my car. But for whatever reason, didn't have my arrows. So talked to you guys, asked you what I should do, because I've never walked this property.
Never stepped foot on it.
Yeah, never done anything with it. So I said, screw it. I'm at least going to go check this place out a little bit just to see what I'm getting into. And I walked up, and there was a stand there from a guy that used to hunt it years past, and he just left the stand, doesn't have anything to do with it, whatever. So I got up in the stand, sat just to make sure everything was good, and as soon as I sat down, I started seeing deer. So, I mean, nothing came within range, and I mean,
you couldn't have shot it anyway.
I couldn't have shot it anyways because it didn't have no arrows.
Question.
Okay.
Did you take your bow?
Yeah. No, I didn't take it with me up in the woods. No, I didn't. The only thing I took, what did I take? I took my binoculars. My binoculars and my rangefinder, but that was just because it was already in my pocket.
Yeah.
But so, and I should have taken my bag because that had my coat and everything because it actually got pretty cold. But so I got up there, sat, saw deer right away. And then it got to the point and I was like, I'm either going to have to stay till dark or I need to get out of here just in case something was to come by and mess something up. So got out of there. And then I went hunting there one other time. And it was, no, twice. I went there another time, had a doe come by, and then another time, and I got skunked on that one. So,
and are you looking to take a doe off that place?
I will, if I get a shot at one. I could have probably squeezed a shot on this last doe that walked by, but, I mean, she was just on a steady walk, and it's really thick. It's nothing but timber. It's on a hill. I mean, it's a big hill. It's like...
It goes from like 700 feet to 1,000.
Real quick.
Within 20 acres worth of, ground.
Yeah, it's only a 20-acre piece, so it's not that big. But it's nothing but oaks and hickories and trees. I mean, it's just thick. So, I mean, it's going to be hard to put a pattern on them. I mean, I'm going to have to throw like 8 cameras at this place to figure it out. But, you know, I'm excited to have it.
So you need to go buy about 8 cameras then.
That, or we could get some sponsors maybe. I don't know.
Stealth Cam, you listening?
Yeah. Stealth Cam. You know, anywhere. Anybody. Any truck cam sponsor. But yeah, because looking at the map, if you zoom out, there's not crops for miles where this is at. So... But there is, it's big timber, everywhere. So I don't know if they're just living off, you know, all the acorns or what, or if they're traveling. But, I mean, the property owner, he says he sees deer all the time. Nice. He used to see a lot more because he has fruit trees, but he's got them to where they don't mess with his fruit trees anymore. But, I mean, I know there's deer there, so I just got to figure out where they're coming and going from.
Yeah, that sucks about the arrows. I am lucky, and I've got this little... set up now the way I hunt because so I've got a work car so I drive that around most of the time, and then I've got my truck, my personal truck, so I just keep my bow in my bow case with the quiver on, and I just leave the bow case open in the back seat of my truck, and there's nobody ever in the back of it. Every once in a while the kids go somewhere with me or something, and I'll have to, you know, take everything apart, but as soon as they get out again, I open the bow case back up, put the quiver on, and it's sitting in there, so all I got to do is grab the bow and go. Because that happened to me one other time several years ago, and I'm like, oh, shit.
I just need to get a case that'll actually fit my quivers.
Yeah, that'll work, too.
Because I'm not going to take my arrows out. It's just
a pain. No, it's pain. We do it every morning in Colorado when we're out there. Yeah,
that's different, you know.
Oh, every arrow, got to put it together.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's no fun.
But anyway, let's get into this awesome episode today. Today we've got the Conservation Federation of Missouri on with us. We've got Tyler Schwartz and Colton Zirkel on to talk about several things. We get into the Conservation Federation and what they do, some of their history and what they're about. And then specifically, we get more into detail about the Share the Harvest program that they administer and run.
Yeah,
so,
and it's an awesome program. And you guys will obviously get the information from the episode, but if you don't know anything about it, you need to learn about it. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that might have an abundance of does or something like that, and they need to you know, get rid of some does or whatever it is. They need to do some habitat management or whatever. They need to take care of some does. You can do that, and you can get rid of the meat if you're not going to use it.
And actually have somebody utilize it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to go to a good cause. So
obviously, you can keep it yourself.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, some people might not have enough and they still right. need to do some stuff, or they want to take, I talk about it in the episode, they want to take a kid hunting and they don't necessarily need the meat, and that kid gets to experience taking their first deer mm-hmm. and they get to help feed people. So it's a cool program. So check them out. And ready to get in the show?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. All right. Got a good show today.
Yeah, I think so.
What are you up to, buddy?
Not much, man. We're getting into the busy season, you know, for work and deer hunting and stuff. So it's just been nonstop.
For work, for play, everything's busy.
Yes.
We're recording this episode, and I walked in the door from hunting and had to get some kids in bed, and now we're on this call. So yeah.
I walked in from work. So
yeah,
you know, is what it is.
And we're missing Andy again because he is still in the fields.
Yeah, he's still hard at it, getting the crops in. So, you know, hopefully he gets done and he gets to get some hunting in, but we'll see what happens.
Right. So we're excited about this one today, especially prior to Missouri rifle season. Of course, we know that the deer season has been going on for since September 15th now, but especially prior to rifle season, we were excited to have this episode. And today we're going to be talking to the Conservation Federation of Missouri about their Share the Harvest program.
And it is an awesome program.
Yep.
And it helps a lot of people out. And we're going to learn a little bit more about it.
We're going to give some good information to people. One of my biggest pet peeves is wasting the animal that's given its life to you.
Yep.
So this is a way for people to not do that. If for some reason they kill something that they don't need. So with us today is Tyler Schwartz and Colton Zirkel with the Conservation Federation. Guys, how you doing?
Doing good. How's it going tonight? Thanks for having us.
No problem. We're excited to talk to y'all. Before we get into this, Tyler and Colton, why don't you all introduce yourselves? Tell us what y'all do for the Conservation Federation. And why don't each of you tell us what your favorite thing about the Missouri outdoors is?
I'm Tyler Schwartz, the Executive Director of the Conservation Federation of Missouri, and we've been around for 85 years now, and so we've been celebrating our 85th anniversary this year, and our mission is to ensure conservation of Missouri's wildlife and natural resources, and along with that, preservation of our state's rich outdoor heritage, and break it down into three categories of advocacy, education, and partnerships. So that's a little bit about CFM, and we can kind of get into some of that a little bit later, because
sure.
those three facets are really some unique opportunities, and like you mentioned, Share the Harvest. We also spend time working in the Capitol and working hard to beat back legislation to keep all the great hunting and fishing opportunities that we have in Missouri open and free for Missourians, especially, too. And then we also have that educational component, too, and that's where Colton does a great job with our education program. So we're kind of a three-faceted, three-legged stool, if you would, and date back all the way back into the 1930s. We actually started the Department of Conservation, the commission, as it was, and as we know, the Missouri Department of Conservation. And so certainly a rich heritage that dates back a long ways, but that's kind of getting into the weeds of things. But as we have been the executive director for a year and a half now, and I started with Missouri State Parks, spent a great decade with the Missouri State Park System, and then came to the Conservation Federation of Missouri about 3 years ago or so. And so I've really enjoyed my time going from state government to a nonprofit agency, certainly different, but it's has all its rewards and challenges, certainly. So I grew up around Marys County in central Missouri, hunting, fishing, farming, doing a lot of fun things, and went to Warrensburg, the University of Central Missouri, as it's now called, I guess.
And, yep, and go so Mules.
Spent four fun years there, and and before starting with the state park system. So that's kind of a brief history on what I've done, where I've came from, and what CFM is. And I'll let Colton introduce himself.
Yeah, so I'm Colton Zirkle. I'm the Education and Communications Coordinator at CFM. That's a long job title, but, you know, basically I'm 50-50 education and communications. So we have three or so youth programs at CFM, and I manage all of those. And I actually came up as a student in high school and college in one of those programs. So that's how I got connected with these folks. And then for communications, I run like our social media. I help manage the website, contribute articles to our magazine, and then, you know, do stuff like this. So I grew up in St. Joseph, Missouri. You know, we say where the Pony Express began and Jesse James ended are our two claims to fame. But I've done my best not to live outside of the Ozarks since I left home for college. So I went to Missouri State and majored in wildlife biology, and then University of Arkansas for a master's in entomology. So I've also worked for state parks and the Missouri Department of Conservation before arriving here at CFM last fall.
Awesome. Okay, so if I had to pin each of you down and you had to tell me one thing that is your favorite thing about the Missouri outdoors, what would you say? Colton, you start this time.
All right. Well, I've listened to your podcast before, so, you know, mine is the same as a lot of guys. Like, I love that our outdoors are so diverse. You know, you've got the flat plains up north, you've got the, you know, wonderful hills down south, and just so many different types of habitats, you know, caves and glades, which are like a desert, and we have tarantulas and scorpions in Missouri, you know. And I just love that, you know, I'm from a place where we have muddy water, but now, you know, I can drive a couple hours and be near the big springs and clear rivers. Mm-hmm. So that's what I enjoy.
How about you, Tyler?
I love that everybody thinks that the Missouri's outdoors and all the great things about them are theirs, and that they, each one of us, love our part of the world, that diverse part of Missouri, whether it's the Ozark Hills or it's the plains or whatever. We all call those home. We all love them. We cherish them. We preserve them. We take care of them, and we tell our friends about them, and we spend time with our family and do all those great things in the outdoors, and they're ours. And we take care of all those things that are special to us. And I think that's what's great, because we are a diverse state. We take care of it, and we appreciate them and use them and pass them on to the next generation.
Yeah, I echo that. I mean, it's kind of cool with the outdoors. When I say Missouri never knows what it wants to be, you know, it kind of dates back to the Civil War, right? weren't really the South, weren't really the North. We always, you know, with the outdoors, it makes it really cool because we have grass, you know, grasslands, we have plains up north, we have vast crop grounds, and then we get in the Ozark Mountains down south, and, you know, the Boot Hill is its own place in itself. We're so diverse, which makes it awesome for the outdoors. You're definitely right there. So those are good answers. I enjoy listening to the answers, even if they're almost the same almost every time. So I enjoy it. It's a fun start, at least. So before we get into Share the Harvest, I wanted to kind of make sure everybody who's listening to this knows what the Conservation Federation of Missouri is and what they're about. Tyler, I know you had mentioned it a little bit already, but why don't you just kind of, and we can get as detailed really as we want, talk about what the Conservation Federation does and how you're successful in helping with conservation, the passing of laws, whatever, at that time. You know, Share the Harvest obviously is one of the programs that you run. You know, let people know what it is the Conservation Federation of Missouri is about.
Certainly. So I mentioned, you know, our rich history, and I'll start at the beginning, and it all goes back to 1935 when our turkeys were decimated. There were no deer virtually, our forest had been over-harvested, and we looked back and people came together, citizens just like us that are sitting around talking, said, hey, we have to do something. Sportsmen came together from all over and formed the Conservation Federation of Missouri and said, hey, we got to keep politics out of conservation and we got to bring the animals and our forest back. And so they came together on September 10th, 1935 in the Tiger Hotel in Columbia, Missouri, and said, let's do something about it. And they formed the Conservation Federation of Missouri, which ultimately formed the Conservation Commission. And so if you don't know, the commission is the governing body over the Missouri Department of Conservation. And so that's ultimately what started the beautiful relationship that we have with the Missouri Department of Conservation today. And Amendment 4 created that non-political commission in 1936. And, you know, you look back to our first deer season, it was 1944, and a lot of great things. Hunter safety started in the 50s. 1960 was our first turkey season. And it was those things that started over the 50s and 60s that pushed us to where we're at the pinnacle in conservation across Missouri today. You know, you look at the Department of Natural Resources was formed in the 70s, and then we look at the Design for Conservation Sales Tax that passed in 1976. That was the 1/8 of 1% that all Missourians pay for on sale of goods. And so that goes directly to conservation. We also have the Parks and Soil Sales Tax that started too. And so we're the only state in the nation that has those dedicated sales tax. And if you go across to Kansas, to different states nearby us, people don't realize how well that Missouri does what we do in hunting, fishing, and the outdoors. And because it costs to go into a state park, it costs ungodly amount of money to pay for your tags and stuff, things like that. So we really have it great in Missouri here with all the things that we're blessed to have through our sales tax, through all the great staff and programs that we typically have. But so that's kind of the, you know, the history of how things have become so great in Missouri. You know, you look at stream teams were formed in the late 80s, the Katy Trail, the Share the Harvest program came on in 1992 that we'll talk about later. And so CFM's been there all along these steps, supporting hunting, fishing, hiking, biking, birding, camping, all these things in the outdoors. We're a nonprofit organization. We're not state government. And so you've got, you know, the Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Conservation, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, and all the Army Corps of Engineers. There's so many different outdoor organizations through the government, but we're the nonprofit group that is that voice for Missouri outdoors. And so that's kind of our slogan. We represent all those organizations, plus over 100 nonprofit organizations, like the birding groups, the hiking groups, the camping groups, the hunting groups, the Wild Turkey Federation, the Elk Foundation. All those groups also are under our wing, and we call those affiliates. And so we have over 100 affiliated organizations, and that's the partnership portion of our mission that we take pride in. And so Operation Game Thief, Operation Forest Arson are all programs and partnerships that we also have. And so if you turn your buddy in for your neighbor's corn or whatever, you call that hotline, that anonymous hotline, that program is something that we do as well. And we're also an affiliate of the National Wildlife Federation. So, so there's a organization like ours in every state in the nation as well, too, that represents to the National Wildlife Federation. So a pretty unique history that we have over many decades that we're very proud of. And again, I could go into the partnerships, a lot of cool things that we do, but that's just the 1/3 of our mission that we really take pride in. And I'll let Colton expand on the education portion of it, and then I'll finish up with the advocacy part.
Well, and before you hop into that, Colton, I agree. I was not aware that we're the only state in the nation that has that tax. And, you know, while I don't agree with everything the Conservation Department's ever done, and that's mostly because I'm just a guy that has an opinion, it might not be right or wrong. But if you think about where my father-in-law was when he started hunting deer, or when he never hunted turkey because he couldn't. I mean, I remember when he was a boy saying that he considered it a successful hunting season if he saw one single deer that entire year. And now I get cranky if I don't see more than one in an evening. So, you know, for the things that I might disagree with in some parts, we're hunting elk in this state now. Elk again, that have been gone for 125 years. Bear are going to be coming down the pipe at some point. I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm excited about, and talk about a diverse state. We're turning into one of those states that offers all these different opportunities, and let alone our fishing opportunities and all that. So I wasn't aware of that. That's pretty cool that we do that. And, you know, I think that's nice that it's dedicated strictly to conservation. So anyways, Colton, why don't you get into the education side about what y'all do?
Yeah, so the main things that I do is I run a program called the Conservation Leadership Corps, and that's for high school upperclassmen and then college students. And basically those students come together twice a year, and they come to Jeff City area, and we meet at our annual convention in March, where all the members of CFM are welcome to attend, and those students write what are called resolutions. And those kind of go through CFM like a bill goes through the Missouri State House and Senate. You know, our students write those things. For instance, one they're working on right now is support of science-based management on the bear season in Missouri, or on the bear population. So that will go through our committees at CFM. And then if it makes it all the way through our General Assembly, that becomes our position as CFM on those issues. And we send those on to like the Department of Conservation or whatever appropriate state agency. And then that's how CFM, that's what our policy is. And so if any of those things come under attack or under interest of the state house and Senate, we actually go there and we take students as part of that program, and they can testify in those hearings in the state capitol. So, another program we have is the Missouri Collegiate Conservation Alliance, or MCCA, and any college student in the state can be a part of that. So both of those together, we take these students and we teach them what conservation looks like at the state level. So, you know, I came up through that program, and really before I started working at CFM, I'd never contacted my state legislators, you know, like I'd never called my representative or my senator. And honestly, I didn't pay attention too much to the conservation legislation that was happening, you know, but every year at CFM, there's something that is usually pretty big deal that comes down that we have to go and take people in to the Capitol to either defend or oppose, you know, certain bills. And it's really cool to see our young people from across the state come and converge because, you know, we love our outdoors. And in Missouri, that's almost always something we can unite behind in the state capitol. And so it's great to see a student get up there and tell, you know, what conservation has meant to them in their, you know, in their lives up to this point. And many of them carry on in a career this way. And, it's cool to see them, you know, go from being a student to being like an active and engaged citizen in Missouri.
Has that program, how long has that program been going on? Has that been since the beginning, or is that somewhat new? Go ahead.
Yeah. CLC's been around since 2002. Is that right, Tyler? 2002. Yeah.
Is that in all high schools or?
Well, for CLC, students have to apply. Okay. And we have spots open, and those will be open again in the spring. We'll be accepting applications. And then we have a committee that looks through those and selects students to be a part of the program.
Okay.
So, and that program caps off at about 50 students. But MCCA is open to however many. You know, there's no cost associated with that one. And you know, any student that's interested, they don't even have to be getting a degree in biology. You know, some of our students are getting a degree in law or you know, communications or media, and all those people are vital to conservation in Missouri, as well as, you know, somebody getting a wildlife biology degree.
Yeah. What it's, if I, I wish I would have paid more attention when I was in college. I'm sure I was told about this. My original degree was conservation enforcement, and I changed at the last second because I wanted to be quote unquote rich, which didn't work out. But anyway, you know, dumb college kid. And I know that my professors told me about this stuff, and I didn't listen. I went to UCM as well, Tyler. So we, you know, this might be a way to, for a college kid that might not be paying attention like I did when I was 20 years old, to join something like this and get more involved, even if they've changed their degree to business or whatever. They still have that passion for the outdoors. You know, it's never not been inside of me. I could have still done something. Instead of when I changed my degree from conservation to something else, you know, almost felt like I was walking away from it. And, you know, this is a good program that people could potentially join in college. So, you know, that's a good deal.
I didn't go to college, so I don't have anything to say about that. I was like, as soon as they gave me a degree, I'm like, I'm out.
You're out of here.
I'll see y'all later.
Go ahead, Tyler.
So that leads into a good point that you can be in high school and join this too. So a junior in high school or that first year that you're eligible to join. And even if you're in hunting, farming, agriculture, anything, I mean, if you're 17 to, you know, do college, listen up, folks. I mean, this is your golden opportunity. I'm with you, Nate. Like, I would have loved to have known that something like this was around when I was in going through college. And again, maybe I heard it and didn't pay attention, but apply, join. You will get to meet the conservation, the natural resource professionals. You get to network, and that's what it's all about. I mean, at the end of the day, your professor can tell you anything in the world that they want to tell you, but it's networking. It's not what you know. It's who you know most of the time. You get that degree, that's a piece of paper, that's a foot in the door, that's a handshake, all it is. You got to sell yourself, and you got to know the people that are in, and I don't care if you're going into accounting or a lawyer or whatever you are, you got to network and know the people that you're going to be involved with in anything. And so this is the golden opportunity for kids that are in high school and college to get engaged with the resources and meet the other peers that love the outdoors and hunting and fishing and hiking and farming and whatever, to get involved with our Conservation Leadership Core program.
Nice. Yeah, that's a great topic to get into, is the educational side. So, all right, that's two of the core values. What's number three? Which I know you already said once, Tyler, but once I said this once, I'm not great at listening in college, so I forgot the third one too. So what's your third one again?
It's the fun thing that we all hear so much about right now, and it's advocacy, which advocacy relates to politics, and it is the thing that we spend our time during session in Missouri. It's working on bills, it's educating our members, it's testifying in hearings, and it is beating back the politicians that are out there that are trying to take away your rights in Missouri and across in D.C. too. So I'm a registered lobbyist, and I spend time through the session. It starts in early January and goes through May. And it would blow your mind how many bills that get filed in Missouri. How many bills do you think, Nate, how many bills do you guys think get filed in a year in Missouri that a legislator wants to become a law?
Since you asked that question, I'm going to say thousands.
Yeah, I was going to say a few hundred, but you make it sound like it's quite a bit.
It is. It's several thousand, usually 1,500 to 2,000 bills get passed. Goodness. You know how many passed this past session? Less than 50.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, hopefully less than half.
Yeah. Wow.
How many get five session and the amount of them that actually don't pass. But there are politicians that don't like hunting and politicians that don't like fishing in the outdoors. And for you and me, that's hard to fathom, but that's where we come in. And that's where Colton and I and all of our affiliates and our other lobbyists and people have to be there protecting our hunting and fishing rights in Missouri. And so that's my shame if we become us towards our efforts that are up there in the cattle every day working to protect the rights of hunting and fishing across Missouri. And so it's not fun. I mean, I beat on a lot of doors and talk to a lot of legislators and spend nights just in hearings and things. I probably testified in 30, 40, 50 hearings a year that were up there saying, no, do not take away our hunting fishing rights, or some harebrained bill gets filed about feral hogs and wanting to let them run loose on the landscape, or I mean, you name it. There is the tax is a great example, the sales tax in Missouri, that they want to get their hands on the money that MDC gets and DNR, and it gets and so they're always trying to file bills, and we're up there saying no. Missourians, our citizens said no. We're up there protecting it. So we're that group that's up there protecting your hunting and fishing rights for all of us. And again, it's a dirty job, but you know, somebody out there listening, yeah. I challenge you to get engaged, you know, and think of, do you know your state rep? Do you know your state senator? Do you know your U.S. rep? Your U.S. senators, you know, and not many people do. I mean, and that's unfortunate, but, and then everybody wants to talk about this person or that person in politics, and I don't even get into that, but it's engaging in the process and the bills that get filed and understanding politics. Like, if you want to get into the talk about politics and stuff, dive into bills and issues and things like that, let alone, you know, what this person said or that person said in D.C. And again, I don't even get into U.S. politics because I get so much into Missouri politics, but it happens right here at home too in Missouri. And so it's a nasty process, but you know, that's what we're here for, to get engaged with all of our legislators. And we have some great resources on our website too, to be able to call them and talk to them and go and knock on their doors. And when you see that, they listen. I mean, and those are the cool things of politics, that they go, oh, I never realized that, because they get hit with hundreds of bills, those 1500 right. bills. They have to know something about to be able to vote on them or somewhat understand them. And so when I can go in there, and even if I call it the elevator speech, you know, in 20, 30 seconds, I have to be able to tell them about this bill and why I want them to vote against it. And so it's they got a lot going on too, but at the same time, they all have, it's everybody. Here's the best way that I can sum up politics. They all got their own chess game. They're all playing their own chess match. And you just try and jump in and try and play yours too, because they got their own priorities and what they're running for their constituents. And so it's a big chess game up there in the Capitol, but it's not fun, but it's got to be done, or else we wouldn't have it as great as we do in Missouri.
So when they're playing chess, I'm playing checkers.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, did I just burn myself?
Yeah, that stuff gets really complicated, I'm sure, and we really appreciate that you guys yeah. are out there and you're beating on those doors and letting those guys know, sticking up for us, the hunter, and stuff like that. Because I mean, you know, obviously, I can do what I can do. I can call my representatives and stuff like that. But you guys are there, you're seeing them, and we just really appreciate that. You know, y'all put up that effort. So,
and you know, I think it would be a good time to maybe ask this question. You might not be able to give me a succinct answer just because there might be so many, but is there anything that's going on right now in 2020 that you have a major concern about, or that you're really spearheading right now that people should know about that they might not be totally aware of before we get into Share the Harvest?
No, that's a great question. And so right now in Missouri, the legislature starts in mid-January, and it gets out in mid-May. And so right now, politicians are running for office, and the General Assembly, which was the 100th General Assembly, it's a two-year session, that's over. And so that'll start back up in January once the new senators and representatives get elected into office. But still going on a U.S. basis is the Congress. And so the Recovering America's Wildlife Act, and that will be millions of dollars that are out there right now that we're trying to get passed. And I think Missouri's portion of that is like $24 million that goes into habitat management, fisheries restoration, and a lot of the species that are in decline and stuff. And so that's called Recovering America's Wildlife Act. And so that's one of the things that we're working on right now, and working on a national basis that would get Missouri some significant funding that would help Missouri out. And the other one that just passed was the Great American Outdoors Act. That was something that the president signed back in July, Colton. That was a great opportunity for more species work and habitat, different things that are in decline across the nation. So you get federal funding, you get state funding, you know. And again, I talked about the state tax that Missouri gets. We get those two taxes, and there's always federal dollars. When you talk about federal dollars, you're talking millions, if not in the B, with the billions of dollars that are out there. So that's something that we're kind of watching right now, is the Recovering America's Wildlife Act, and hopefully get that going. There's always initiatives with flooding and Mississippi, Missouri, a lot of different grants, acts, and things that are out there. But once the session starts back up again in January, these legislators get all a brand new opportunity to file all those 1,500 plus.
Boom! Here they go.
We start all over again, and we go like heck for 5.5 months and beating them back, and then when session ends in May, we start over again the following January. So in Missouri, it's that short 5 month session that we deal with, and if nothing gets, again, going back to very basic, government, it's got to go through the Senate, goes to the House, and then the governor has to sign it. And any of those groups that don't say yes, that's where the other 1,450 bills get raked in and done away with at the end of the year. So,
and when you talked about, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you saw this, but when you talked about populations in decline, I just read today that we got some turkey hatch numbers, and it looks like numbers are up this year a little bit so far. So that's good. I know people have been a little bit worried about the turkey. I mean, not that they're gone, but, it hasn't been great the last few years.
Yeah, it's kind of slowed down on harvest numbers and things like that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So that's good to see those up. I know they've showed up on my camera. I've got a few pictures of quite a few hatchlings out there, so that's good.
I think that's great to kind of talk about the three pillars of the Conservation Federation. And one thing that we're really excited about to talk to y'all about as a part of that is the Share the Harvest program. And like you were talking about, Tyler, there's a lot of people that don't like hunters, think that we're out for the wrong reasons, and there are hunters that are doing things the wrong way. But I think one thing that can make a hunter look really bad is when they make the decision to take an animal's life, and then they don't respect that animal. And when you take an animal's life, you should respect them enough to utilize them and not just shoot them to have the horns or
take the feathers back straps or something like that.
Yeah, whatever. There's not a whole lot that upsets me. Colton, you said you listened to the show before, so we all kind of say this. I don't care what you get out of the outdoors. How you deer hunt or turkey hunt or whatever is personal to you, as long as it's legal. And, so I don't get upset by somebody who uses a rifle compared to a longbow or whatever. It's your personal way of hunting. The one thing that does aggravate me is when somebody either kills something illegally, poaches, or wastes an animal. And I think what was really cool, like you said, back in 1992, Tyler, the Share the Harvest program was started. And I think that has probably helped with this. But, if you're a guy or gal that shoots a deer and doesn't need the meat, if you don't know about this program, I really hope you figure it out, because this is a great way to feed other people while you're enjoying the outdoors. So let's just dive right into the Share the Harvest program. You want to kind of just give us a rundown, and we'll branch out from there.
Certainly. So again, like you said, it was started in 1992 with a group of archers and turkey hunters, actually, that came together and started the idea. And it took a while. It took a while to run it through the Federation, through our resource advisory committees, and then branched out into the Department of Conservation and got these partners. And what we know as today as the what is truly a win-win-win program. You know, hunters do their part by donating the meat. The food banks get that protein-rich venison that they need, and they just absolutely love being able to get that meat in there for needy families. And us as hunters are the win because we get to know that we're doing the right thing and for other people. So it's just a great program. I mean, and that's the easiest sell. When I tell you that I work for the Conservation Federation of Missouri, and I say, you heard of Share the Harvest? Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Okay, well, that's one of the programs that we run. And so we're up over 4.3 million pounds of deer meat donated
wow.
since 1992. I mean, that's just, guys, that's unbelievable.
That's a big
breakfast.
The amount
of meat. It is. It is, man. It's awesome. We're proud of it. And we keep it going each year, but we're always looking, you know, for donations and partners and hunters. I mean, that's you, John Q. Hunter out there keeps us going. I mean, that's it, period. If we didn't have deer hunters that were unselfishly donating meat to it, you know, the amount of deer, the hundreds of thousands of deer that we get each year go to the neighbors. And that's the cool thing about this program. If you shoot your deer and you're in Osage County, that meat's going to stay in Osage County. If you're up in Macon County, that deer's meat's going to stay in Macon County or wherever it is. And if you're in St. Louis, all these different areas, Kansas City, suburban, rural, and the meat stays right there and gets distributed through the local food banks. And so you take your deer in and donate it to a participating processor. So you get on the website. Get on MDC's website, on ours, and you can see who's participating in the Share the Harvest program. So drop it off and you're done. But so then what happens is they take it and they process that deer and it all becomes ground meat. All goes into burger and then gets distributed to the food bank. So then the conservation agent comes, picks up the meat, and takes it to the local food banks. And we work through the Missouri Food Banks Association. And so they have all their soup kitchens and all those things that are across Missouri too. And so then the agent takes the meat and then the food banks distribute it to the needy families that are right there and within those counties, those local communities, those church groups. And it's the ultimate win program for everybody involved.
Awesome. Yeah. In fact, Andy, one of our co-hosts that unfortunately wasn't able to make it tonight due to harvest, but he used the program already this year. He had a lot of does on his property, and he needed to kind of try to thin them out. But he only is going to have to use one deer this year as far as the meat. And so he decided that he was going to take a doe early, and he was going to donate her to Share the Harvest. And for me, now you... It's an easier way that you said, Tyler, to go on MDC's website and kind of find out who's participating. In the years past when I knew that I might use the program, I just called local meat lockers or processors and said, hey, are you going to participate this year? And they would tell me yes. And, you know, if there was a cost involved, they let me know what it was. You know, in our area, I've never had it be more than like, I think one year it was going to be like $20 and then he didn't charge it when I dropped it in. That was the one year. So yeah, I used it one year for a deer and then another year, bad story, but I just bought a truck and I had it for like 7 days and I clipped this buck chasing a doe during the rut on my way home from hunting. And so just so happens that a conservation agent was behind me like a mile. And so he saw me pull over and the buck is in the median, or not in the median, the ditch, flailing around trying not to die. And I'm sitting there going, what do I do now? And he pulls in behind me and he goes, you know, he took care of the deer. He put him down, and he asked me, "Hey, do you want to take him?" And that night I was in a hurry, and I said, "No." I said, "Can he be donated?" He's like, "Yep, I'll take care of that." And you know that buck that I hit was what is utilized instead of wasted. And I mean, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot that can be done about that. A lot of deer are wasted every year that get hit by vehicles, and that just is what it is. But in that case, it was pretty cool that, you know, he was utilized in the program by a conservation agent that was able to take care of it. So I've used it a couple times. Andy, like I said, just used it this year. You've ever used it, Micah?
No, my family's pretty usually good about eating. Yeah. We usually go, I try to harvest around two deer a year. And I mean, if I'm ever in a situation where I do have to do some habitat management, as far as more deer than we had or that we need, then I would definitely use it. But the properties that I hunt, it's not necessary yet. So sure. I kill what I need, and we usually eat it there. So
how does each year you guys set everything up and get your donors and things like that? Can the cost vary per processor, or is it maybe per area? How does cost involved with someone donating a deer work?
So we pay $75 for one of the processing of the deer. And so if a processor, let's just say, in the city, they charge $95. And so we cover at least 75 of that cost. So maybe that's where your $20 came in. If they're charging that $95, we'll cover 75 of it. And I mean, that gets, for most of the processors that we deal with, they love that they think that's a fair deal. And so that's where we're at on covering the cost of that too. And again, all they're doing is deboning the meat, and it all gets ground up. And so it's all ground venison that we use. And so, again, great opportunity for, you know, John Q. Hunter out there. And this year, especially because, you know, in the pandemic and everything going on, we need the meat, the venison, those food banks that are out there that are really needing the meat to, you know, help feed their families. And so it's an opportunity to feed each other's neighbors. And something, the expansion that we did, and I'll go back into the politics, and this is where the cool thing comes into place with what we've done with the Share the Harvest, is going into shelf-stable venison snack sticks now. And so we're expanding the Share the Harvest this year. And what we did, and ultimately, again, I'll go back into politics for a minute, the state statute said that meat has to be frozen and packaged. And so we looked at that and said, how can we, you know, get these snack sticks that the program, and so you've heard of the Buddy Pack program, where the kids, the needy, hungry kids get packs and meat and different things that go home with them on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And so this is an opportunity to add snack sticks into that. And again, I don't know what all goes into the Buddy Packs, but it's milk and different other products that can go with the kids for the weekend. And so we came together and said, all right, we got to do something. And how can we provide deer snack sticks, jerky, ultimately to that? And so going back to that bill, the state statute that said frozen and packaged, we wanted it to say frozen or packaged. And so through the Federation, we started a resolution. Through that resolution, we got a bill filed. And through that bill, we got the governor's signature, went through the House, the Senate. We had over 99% support. And, you know, who doesn't love to Share the Harvest? And so we had bipartisan support in the House and the Senate this past session. And the governor signed our bill back in July. And I was there in his office when he signed it. It was an epic day that we can expand the program to feed needy children through the Buddy Pack program. And so we're excited to start that, rolling that out this year on a small level. And so I hope that someday that when you take your deer in, the processor is going to say, do you want it to go to the Buddy Pack program, or do you want it to go to your local food bank? And so it's another option that'll be out there to feed, you know, hungry children across Missouri. So pretty neat opportunity that we've done. And again, it'll take several you know, years. We got the bill passed the first year, and I jokingly said, I'll change the law. We got to figure out how to get these packs, these, all this meat to all these kids across Missouri. And no, so we'll figure that out. And so, again, it's the benefit of partnership that coming through the food banks, through the Department of Conservation, through the Conservation Federation of Missouri, through the Missouri Association of Meat Processors, all of our organizations, we're working together to figure this out, to be able to get these snack sticks into the kids' backpack program. So, again, just it's a unique opportunity that Missouri hunters have to help each other in need. So,
very cool. It's another way. I don't understand this logic because I just can't understand how somebody wouldn't like deer meat. But it's another way to introduce people to deer meat, maybe even younger, right? We already have Share the Harvest where kids, families that need the meat might have a kid that gets to eat deer meat. If we introduce the snack packs that have the jerky.
Who doesn't like deer jerky?
Thank you.
I mean, for real.
You know, it's just it's weird how many people I've met in my life that won't eat a deer because it's in the forest. And I'm just like, what's the difference between that deer and that cow? You know, and it's just odd mentality people have that a wild animal must taste bad, and they've obviously never eaten.
Yeah, they've never cooked it right, or whoever did the cooking didn't do it right.
Sure.
Because if you do it right, it's amazing.
So it's another opportunity maybe for people to get introduced at a younger age. And then they're like, I like this deer stuff. And then by the time they're 18 years old or whatever, even younger, they might become a hunter. And that's one more person in the outdoors. So there's multiple layers to the Share the Harvest, other than just obviously feeding people is the most important part. But, you know, it can do other things. And it's pretty cool that you got that passed so that now you got snack sticks and maybe steaks one day. Some back straps. Mm.
Yeah.
But can you imagine someone trying a backstrap for the first time?
Oh, man.
I mean, that'd be the end of it.
I had a buddy message. Him and his stepson, they just got into hunting last year, and he sent me pictures last night that he finally cooked up the backstraps, and we were talking about it and stuff, and he said it was by far one of the best things he's had. So
it's pretty
exciting.
You remember the guy we interviewed? The episode hasn't released yet, so we can't talk too much about it, but our buddy from St. Louis, mm-hmm. who he harvested a deer a couple weeks ago, and he kept the inner and the outer loins or the outer straps on together and then smoked them together. And what's that called? Not a drumstick?
Not a drumstick.
Gosh darn it, what did he say?
Something chop.
Yeah, it's just big chunk of bone with all this beautiful meat on it, and apparently it was pretty good. So, yeah, you get introduced to deer meat, and then there's all kinds of ways to enjoy it. So that's pretty cool. The episode with you guys is going to release prior to youth season, which I think's important because there might be, and you might know some numbers too, Tyler and Colton, but you might have a father or a mother that's going to take their son or daughter hunting for the first time during youth season, and maybe the father's already harvested an animal, and they don't need meat anymore. This is a perfect way to allow their child to take their first deer, potentially, or at least get to continue learning how to harvest and not have to worry with, what are we going to do with the meat if he or she kills something? I don't have anybody in my family that needs the meat.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
And then he can explain, well, we'll take your deer, buck or doe, whatever, and we can donate and we'll feed families with it and stuff. And I mean, that's a great lesson to learn right there.
Yeah. Yeah, do you see an uptick, or do you know numbers ever throughout the season as far as how many deer get donated and when? I would guess youth season might have a quite a bit of an uptick because of what we just talked about, but I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, it stays steady all year. You know, bow season is kind of ebbs and flows, but certainly once you get the rifles out there, that's when the meat starts pouring in with all the deer. And so
when the Orange Army gets going, they get going.
That's right. That's what we need, because it's, oh man, there's nothing better than getting these kids out here and getting them involved and spending time in the outdoors. And I've, had an opportunity to be with several children on their first deer, and I get excited more than they do, I think, when they shoot that first deer, and just there's nothing greater in the outdoors. And you see that light bulb go on with these kids, and it could be their first. I used to teach kayaking classes, and just to see them paddling for the first time or catching their first fish, and guys, this is what we're doing, man. This is as good as it gets right there. Seeing, passing those things on to the next generation for them to teach them. And I always tell people, like, how many people have you taught that aren't even born yet to do something? So think about that, that if you teach your nephew or your kid or somebody taught you, you know, how to do something, and you passed on something that your grandpa taught you how to do that before, and you're teaching your grandkid, you know, someday, that's not even born yet, to pass these things that are on. So whether it's, you know, gigging or sucker grabbing or whatever it is that you like to do in Missouri, it's about getting these kids outdoors and spending time outside with them, because they're going to teach their kids and long after you're gone.
Yeah, that's awesome. What else you got, man? You got any? Are we missing anything with this program that people really should know? Go ahead, Colton.
I think one of the, like, if we can give, like, the listeners, like, a call to action, there's a couple things, like, right now that you guys can do. And, of course, the first thing is vote. And we recently, our legislative committee sent out a survey to all the Missouri candidates, and a bunch of them replied. And it was a conservation survey, like, where do you stand with public lands, or where do you stand with, plastics and how they're used in Missouri and things like that. And we've actually just published all of those on our website. So if you would like to see how your potential candidates may have responded to these issues that matter to people like us, you can go to our website, and that's confedmo.org/candidates. And that's where those survey results are posted. And then when we get back into the legislative session, we have a legislative action center on our website. And, you know, Micah, you said that this stuff is all pretty, you know, it is complicated, you know, with those 2,000 bills we have to sift through every year and find out which ones matter to conservation-minded folks. Like, we post the most important ones on this Legislative Action Center. And after you log in one time, it's like two clicks where you can send your representatives and senators a letter on how we as conservationists feel about the issue. And it's not all negative. Lots of times it's like the snack stick bill, and it's positive. Like, you know, we want you to support this bill, maybe even be a co-sponsor of the bill. So you log in there, and it's confedmo.org/LAC, and that will show you those issues. And so right now the Restoration of America's Wildlife Act is up there. And then once again, when we get back in January, there'll be a whole lot more of the state issues. So it makes it really easy. You can just read a short synopsis, and you do two clicks. And if you'd like, there's a paragraph where you can write, you know, whatever you would like to your state reps and senators, because, you know, maybe you guys know them personally. And then after you click send, you know, you can share it on Facebook and tell others how to take action. And it'll also give you the phone number for that person if you'd like to call them and check in on it. Nice. You know, for me, when I sent them this year, it was really cool to get the responses back, even though not all of them were as I had hoped, you know, but maybe that'll change how I vote this fall on some of those people, you know.
So, right. Hey, at least
it's cool to know where they stand.
At least you got to give them credit for telling you something that you might not like to hear, you know, instead of just talking. But
that's true.
That's a good point. And I mean, all of us, it's our jobs to keep the sport and the recreations that we love doing alive. And whether that's when you're in the woods and you see some trash, you pick it up, or you might cut an old, an old tree stand down that's about to kill a tree or something, you know, stuff like that. And it goes into this stuff too, with the laws and legislation. And a lot of people are complacent with that. And I'm guilty of that too.
Yeah, I'm very guilty of,
you know, I think Tyler's going to take care of it for me. So,
right.
You know, I, You know, but there's not always someone there. You know, you never know. And so you do try to, you know, I would encourage people to try to be as involved as they can be, whether that's doing what Colton just talked about and, you know, clicking a link and reading it for a couple minutes and sending a question, or just being educated when there is a bill that's trying to be passed into a law, and going out and voting and letting your voice be heard. It's important. Obviously, we have a big election coming up, and we won't get into that, but it's important to get out there and do those things. So you make a great point, and things like that are the reason why we now have programs like Share the Harvest and these awesome things that have happened for conservation in the past 24 months. But for every, I'm guessing, Tyler, you'll probably agree with me, for every awesome thing that's coming down the pipe, there's another just as bad thing waiting and lurking that someone else is trying to pass, because like you said earlier, not everybody likes us outdoorsmen and hunters. They think we're killing Bambi. They think we're bloodthirsty, and we kill it and let it sit there in the forest. And while that unfortunately does happen, and it boils my blood just as much as it does that person, we gotta be there to fight those back too. So it makes your jobs at the Conservation Federation probably never ending.
That's right, and that's why we need the support, you know, and that's my shameless plug for $35 a year to join and become a member to keep up on stuff and get our awesome 68-page magazine every other month and hear so many cool stories about hunting, fishing, the outdoors, birding, you know, and we cover so much more than just hunting and fishing, and we get into environmental issues and water quality. And so a lot of neat opportunities to see that through our magazine is just, we get a lot of cool stuff that people submit to us, and we keep you up on politics and stuff too, plus all the events that we got going. So again, we need your membership so we can execute our mission of partnerships, education, and the advocacy portion of it, because it takes all of us. It takes us citizens defending what the Missouri citizens started in 1935, and they stood up and said, no, we're not going to allow the politics to take over. And so that's why Missouri is so unique in what we have, because John Q. Public stood up and started all this, you know, and so that's what we're here to defend. It's our turn to carry the water, you know, everybody that's out there hunting and fishing and enjoying the outdoors, it's our turn to step up and do the right thing. And so, because someday it'll be our kids, our grandkids, and, you know, and that's why we fight to defend our public lands and our state parks and our conservation areas, because we have free boat ramps and we have free state parks. Not every state has that, folks, and those dedicated sales tax are so unique in Missouri, and that's the Missouri model of conservation. And when I go to a national convention, everybody wants to be Missouri. I promise you that there is zero other states that have dedicated sales tax that we have out there. Zero. And people want to be able to know how you do it. And it's our model of conservation is the envy across the nation, because we are so unique and have so many great fisheries in Missouri. Like you take it for granted that you can go to a lake within an hour of your house somewhere. I guarantee you, wherever you're listening, you can go fishing somewhere and catch fish. And not, you can't do that in every state. And you can go fishing, hunting, hiking, biking, birding somewhere in Missouri, very close to where you're at. And that's because of all the great things that we have here in Missouri, and we have to defend them.
Absolutely.
Or they'll go away.
No doubt.
Yeah, I can think of, I have four different conservation areas within 45 minutes of my house that I could hunt and fish at.
Five. I mean, that one's right. Yeah, you got at least five.
Four or five. Okay.
Yeah, that's – I might sorry. To...
but anyways, I mean, and like you said, a lot of states, they don't have that. And we're extremely lucky for what we do have, and we do need to keep that going.
Yeah, so before we hop off, Colton, if you want to, or Tyler, but why don't we – let people know how they can learn more about Share the Harvest, and then also learn more. I know you already gave some websites first a second ago, Colton, but
yep.
Give them some websites and stuff. We'll also link those things in the show release for everybody as well. But why don't you give them some of that contact information so they can can sign or at least know what to do if they want to do Share the Harvest and then also get involved with CFM?
Yeah. So visit our website. It's confedmo.org, and all the links are there. Share the Harvest, and most of those are right there on the homepage, the Legislative Action Center. Really easy to find. Feel free to call us. Our number's listed there on the website, too. We're at the office, you know, 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. And then on social media, we're at ConFedMo on all of our social media. So YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. And we share those updates with you. So you can know if you're out hunting and fishing and you might be on Facebook at night and you see, hey, there's a bill that I need to, you know, email my rep about. Like, two clicks and you're done, you know. So we do our best to make it easy for you guys to, you know, understand this kind of stuff because, you know,
oh, I appreciate that because yeah. I need that stuff explained to me like I'm a 5 year old because it just it
explain
goes,
it to me like I'm five.
Yeah, pretty much because it goes over my head. Yeah. So I kind of need somebody there to be like, this is what you need to do.
Yeah, we do this because we love the Missouri outdoors, and of course, like you guys, we'd rather be outside. But you know, we do this job so that we can continue to do this and our grandchildren can do this. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah, we were excited to talk to you all and we really do appreciate your time. And we're excited, like I said, for another season where people can share their harvest with people in need. Not everybody, you know, when you go hunting, you think about this. Not everybody is as lucky as you right now in their life. And I'm lucky to have a freezer full of almost a full cow and about half of a deer left that I would like to replenish. But if everything in my world fell apart right now, I would still be able to feed my family for a good portion of time. Not everybody has that. There are a lot of people out there that are literally living meal to meal with children, and this is a way that you can help them without physically giving them a meal. And the meat's not wasted. It's goes to a good cause, and the food pantries utilize it the best they can. So we really appreciate you guys continuing that program and spearheading that too.
That's awesome. We appreciate you guys and thank you for having us on. And you know, and you talk about sharing the harvest. If somebody wants to donate their $75, you know, we would love for you to somebody's listening out there, they want to pay for somebody else to donate a deer. It's a good feeling to be able to cover that $75 for or whatever it is, you know. And so there's certainly other ways to support or get out there and hunt. And, you know, this is going to air around the peak of the rut in Missouri. So I'll give my tip that I love to share with people, and it's leaf-blown trails, man. I'm telling you, that is the coolest thing. If you want to kill a deer, get out there. Blow your leaf blown trail, get a trail in where you can get in there super quiet. That's one of the greatest like tips that people don't realize. That's my plug for helping bow hunters out there.
What I always do tonight.
Get out there. You used yours tonight?
I could have used that tonight. I got home right before we recorded this and I got to hunt this evening, and it is very dry where we live right now, and it sounded like a concert. Walking and I was trying to be as quiet as I could, but at that point I should have just ran to my stand because every deer with an earshot was going to hear me walking in. So it'd have been nice just to walk on dirt the entire way.
And so that's what I did. I walked on dirt to my stand and back tonight because I went in. I always go in. I'll start and do it about the middle of October. Blow it in there down to bare earth. Go back the day of Halloween or so in the middle part of the day. Blow it back open. Leaves about fell by then and. You're usually good through rifle season, and you know, blow it 3 or 4 feet wide. You can find a spot. All you need is a spot, you know, to put your foot every few feet. So, leaf blown trails. I can't tell you how many encounters that I've had and been able to slip out of the bow stand at night with having that leaf blown trail in there. And you'd be surprised. You blow a trail to your stand, there will be a deer that will walk in that trail within 36 hours. They love that fresh earth smell. I don't know what it is about it, but you come back in a day or two and there'll been a deer that's walked right through there. And those blowers don't mess them up like you think they would and stuff. So
that's a good tip.
Give it a shot and let me know if it works. Yeah,
solid tip. I will. I am all about those because I am far from an expert hunter. So, no, we really appreciate you guys coming on tonight. I know it was a late evening, but we finally got together and were able to record. And you're also our first podcast. None of our listeners know this, but you're also our first podcast that we're Zooming so that Colton, Tyler, Micah, and myself are all in the same room together, even though we are hours apart. So that's pretty cool. It worked out pretty well, too, so I might start trying this more. I don't know. So we appreciate you guys coming on, and if you don't have anything else, we will talk to y'all later.
Yeah, thank you guys very much.
Keep up the great work.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you later. That's that.
Lots of good information. I didn't realize what all those guys do, and we definitely need them around. So I'm glad they are around.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's cool that they're not a government program. It's a nonprofit organization,
right,
that really only has one focus.
And that's Missouri outdoors.
And that's protecting our rights as hunters.
Yeah.
And Missouri hunters, by the way, not national hunters. Every state's got their own federation. But, you know, their job is to protect.
Make sure we can do what we love to do.
Yeah, in our state.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty absolutely cool.
I know, and it definitely, I need to be more involved with that sort of stuff. And they gave us an outlet to go in there. We can get on their website and, you know, if there's something that we need to let our, you know, people in charge know,
yeah,
we can do that very easily.
No, you think about it, you know, you can sign up for a, not a membership. Like, is that what it is? Membership?
Yeah, they have a membership.
I guess that's what it's called. You can sign up for a membership. It's $35 a year to be a member of the Conservation Federation. And, you know, that helps them. And, you know, there's a lot of different federations out there. I'm a member of several.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you can be a member of this and help with that without, you know, you don't have to necessarily, like, be beaten down the steps at Jeff City.
Right.
And, you know, doing the things that they do, but you can help by donating. You can help by, Tyler talks about it in here. Some people like to donate the $75 processing fee for Share the Harvest, and you know, or if you don't have the money, and that's very true. A lot of people don't, and a lot of people are, I mean, I'm a tightwad, and, is it you that says I can swallow a penny and shit out a nickel? Is that you?
No, that wasn't me.
Which is true. I am a tightwad, but so some people don't have the money, then just, you know, stay involved, right? Go follow them on their social media pages and just stay up to what's going on, and maybe you can go fill out one of those deals that Colton was talking about.
Right, exactly.
You know, that sort of stuff.
I mean, and we all need to do our part of getting the information that, you know, that could hurt us as hunters and stuff like that, and to be involved with that, and, you know, to make our voices heard. So
yeah, there's people out there that don't like us.
Right. And I mean, they're ridiculous.
There's a lot more people out there that don't like me.
Well, that's true. I'm one of them.
I know. I don't like you either.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Anyways, it was a good episode. Get on there, follow them, and, you know, get out there and share a harvest, kill an extra doe this year.
Yeah.
You know, share it. Thinking now, I said in the episode, but I try to get two deer a year, and we eat that. Well, I'm going to try for three this year, so, and just to donate.
Overachiever.
Well, I'm going to try to do my part.
All right, everybody, have a great week, and we'll talk to y'all later.
Yep. Good luck this season.
See ya.